Stand down. Sit down. Oh, let's give him a hand clap. These are our 10 to 20-year-olds. Okay, stay standing. I'm going to do a giveaway. Stay standing. If you're the first, in order for you to get this giveaway, you have to be 10 to 20, okay? And if I'm going to say something, and if it doesn't apply to you, you have to sit down, okay? We'll see who's left standing. All right, if you own ripped jeans, stay standing. Oh, look it. It's everybody. I'm shocked. My daughter's wearing mine. Those are cute jeans. They were a little too much for me, so I handed them to her. So if you own mom jeans and can rock them, yes, moms, there's a kind of jean called mom jeans, and they're very cool. If you own mom jeans, stay standing. If you don't, I'm sorry, you have to sit down. All you have mom jeans? All of you have. See, I bought a pair of mom jeans, and I said, these make me look a little bit too much like a mom, and I gave them to my daughter. Mom shorts, high-waisted, right? Yep, kind of like mid-y. Are they mid? Yep. Those were the mom jeans and mom shorts. I know. Okay, if you have three or more social media accounts, so you keep up with Facebook, Twitter, help me out, Instagram, Snapchat. If you have three or more social media accounts, stay standing. We are not eliminating anyone. I should have come up with more questions. You guys are getting a little peer into your soul, though. We love you guys. All right, here it is. If you have watched an entire K-drama, stay standing. Oh! Has anyone, you've watched K-drama? And where's the button girls? Oh, they're not out there. I think you're the only one. What is your name, hon? Alora, get a prize. Okay. In case all of you that don't know what a K-drama is, it is Korean drama. Yes, it's a thing. It's a big thing. Button girls, you guys could have gotten a prize because I know you watch K-dramas. And also anime, which is completely in Japanese. My son has had me watch. It's all in Japanese, ladies. I can't wrap my mind around 20-hour series. They're speaking in Japanese. And you have to read the subtitles. Anyway, okay. We love your generation. We're glad you're here. Oh, okay. I want all eyes on me. I got something happening here. We have our first mini session coming up. And it's Jessica McKinley. I want to just introduce Jessica. Yeah, woo! She's awesome. Annie Tata, we love you. Come on up here. This is my sister-in-law. My brothers married incredibly amazing women. My other sweet sister-in-law is on the front row. The pianist, can you just wave? I gave my brothers an assignment, go find me a best friend. And they did. Jessica is amazing. Jessica and my brother Zach, how many years have been married?
Coming up on 17.
Okay, coming up on 17 years. And as soon as they got married, newlyweds, they moved with Jeff and I to Huron and helped plant James River Church. And they were with us for up until 5-6 years ago.
Yep.
And Jessica was our children's pastor. Then they moved back to the family farm. She's now the children's pastor at River Center Church with my other brother and sister-in-law. And she is a great woman of God who I have seen stay steady before the Lord in ups and downs, in the crummy and the beautiful. She's got four gorgeous kids. She's a mom extraordinaire. Grew up in a city, but she makes every farmer's wife be put to shame. She does it so well. As soon as she got chickens, I was like, whoa, next level. You are amazing. So, Jessica, bring us the word. We're so excited.
Thank you, Autumn. It's an honor to be here. I'm just such a privilege. So I have to give you a little warning. Sometimes when, I don't preach often, but when I do, sometimes I call the congregation boys and girls. Because I'm used to talking to kids on Sunday mornings usually. So just a little warning, if that happens, it might. So just throwing that out there. Well, awesome. It is an honor to be here. You guys are so inspiring. Just watching you worship and watching you just love each other well. It's been such a privilege. Right away, when Autumn asked me about this mini session, I knew right away God gave me the word. He said Galatians 6:9. So I'm just going to declare this over you, and then we'll go into the word. The word. So let us not get tired of doing what is good. Let us not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. And some of you here today, maybe you were like on the verge of giving up. Like you were hanging by a thread. Maybe you're going through a major crisis. Maybe you are so stuck in the mundane life that you're like, I have to get to Jesus. Like my life is just, it's the same every day. I have these kids and I have this job and I'm just so like, everything's the same. And I need a breakthrough. I just want to encourage you today, let God sweep in this weekend. Even now, let's not like, it's not over. We have the whole afternoon and tonight. Let's let him sweep in and touch you. Awesome. Praise God. So we all have this desire. If you want to title this message like we've been given titles to each one, I would call it Building a Legacy in the Mundane. Building a Legacy in the Mundane. You know, all of us have this desire to make an impact on our world. You know, in Ecclesiastes it says that God has written eternity on our hearts. It's good and right to want to make a global impact. Every one of us have that desire to let our lives count before the Lord. It's a good and right thing. It's just how we go about it. You know, the world is so tricky. It throws like crazy ideas out there of what we should be doing. It says that we should have a big, shiny ministry or we should, you know, have a lot of followers. There's this very real and present reality, this very present and fake reality called social media. It's so fake. It's this whole world. Like, I mean, some of it's real, but most of it has been polished, has been edited, and it's like in our faces all the time. And on social media, it's always this random, you know, sometimes it's like really crazy things. Like someone's posting at the gym with their biceps and, you know, just like crazy things. Or I actually, the other night, I was on Instagram Reels and this lady was eating a grapefruit on her reel. And I'm like, why am I watching this lady eat a grapefruit? It's just so random, the content that's put out there. And people just do it in the name of being seen. They just want to be seen. In this world, it's like, Why do we let this false reality become such an influence on us? I mean, it's good. I love social media. I have Instagram. I love it. You know, I have Facebook. But we just can't let it, like, you know, speak to our souls the way we let the word, you know? So it's so fake. And this world also tells us that likes and followers, those are what equals success. And that is not true at all. That's not true at all. Jesus had 12 disciples. I mean, think about it for a moment. 12. We don't have to go out there. It's not all about how many followers we can find. You know, it's so much bigger than that. In this world of selfies, God is calling us to be selfless. He is. He's calling us to be selfless and to lay down our lives. We often post to be seen, but in reality, everything we say, everything we do, every thought we could ever think is seen by God. Just think about that for a moment. You never go unseen. There's not one hidden motive of your heart that is not seen by him. He sees it all. If we just live from that reality, it changes everything. We don't have to do things to get attention on social media. We don't have to, because we're living from a true, very present, very real reality, which is before the Lord. Praise God. All right, so today we're going to turn to Matthew 20. We're going to be talking about a mama in the Bible. And not all of you are mothers here, so I get that. But we can learn something from her. So Matthew 20. Just one second while I get there. So Salome is the mom I'm referring to. And for some reason, like, I just haven't really ever thought about her until recently. I mean, I've been reading the Bible for some time, but I just kind of overlooked her. But she's really interesting. So this isn't Salome, not the one that was daughter of Herodias that asked for the head of John the Baptist on a plate. Not that one, not the crazy psycho one. We're not going to talk about her life and glean from her today. We're talking about the super cool Salome, who was the mother of James and John, wife of Zebedee. She's really interesting. I just never really noticed her before. So let's turn there together. Matthew 20, verses 20. All right, we're going to read it. There are then the mother of Zebedee's sons, Salome, and Matthew, it doesn't actually say her name, but Mark, we hear her name several times, came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down, asked a favor of him. I love this, like just talking with Jesus, and she's been traveling with him. I mean, she's been doing ministry with him and her sons for some time, And it's okay. I better get out of myself. Sorry, I'm just still passionate about this. I just love when you read the Bible and you're like, oh, that's so relatable, especially as a mom. Like, I remember when I realized that Proverbs 31, she had maids, y'all. She had maid servants. She had maids. Can we just like this impossible standard? But she had maids. So I just felt like so good when I heard that. In the same week, I actually realized that like Mary, mother of God, lost her 12-year-old. Can I get an amen? She's like relatable. The Bible's so real. These people that we put on high pedestals, they're just like us, you know? Anyway, so let's get back to Matthew 20. So Jesus asked her, what is it that you want? He asked her. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine, James or John, may sit at your right and the other at the left in your kingdom. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? We can, they answer, almost in unison. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. When the 10 heard this, they were indignant about their two brothers. Then Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over to them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. There's a different kingdom. They're living in this place like where there was abuse of power. The Gentile rule was insane. He's like, it's not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great amongst you must become your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So good. It's so good. There's this mom, and a lot. Some people like reading commentaries and things. Some people think she was just being bold and like, you know, trying to promote her kids and herself. But I think she's highly relatable. She just wants the best for her boys. I mean, if you're honest, how many times have you had a dialogue with Jesus about this? Like, God, I want my kids to like do big things for you. I want them to love you with all their hearts. I mean, those are good things. It's good to want your sons and your daughters to be great in God's kingdom. It's a good thing. Also, it's really interesting because Jesus had a term of endearment for these boys. He called them the sons of thunder. How many of you at home have some kids that you could call the sons of thunder? Can you imagine what Shalom was like raising toddlers who Jesus later nicknames the sons of thunder or the teenagers? I mean, they were probably not your Enneagram peacemakers. They were probably the Enneagram 8 challengers, don't you think, with a strong will? I mean, there's a reason why they had their name. It's probably because of their disposition. But now, after raising these boys, here they are doing ministry with the long-awaited Messiah. I mean, she was probably like gushing and so like encouraged and excited, and she was just having an honest dialogue with Jesus. And Jesus was like no other rabbi. He was like super approachable. He did ministry intimately with other people, and this blows my mind. He welcomed women. That was not a thing. Women could not learn directly from a rabbi. That was not a thing yet. And Jesus is so countercultural. He loves women. I love it. All right. So let's look at verse 25. So Jesus contrasts the abuse of the Gentiles' leadership of the current time with the kingdom that he is trying to spell out and trying to build on the earth. He doesn't want us to do things the way the world does. You know, the world might be all about like attention on social media and building a following. And like I said, social media is not evil. We should use it for God, but is a way to go about living a humble life and laying down our lives and loving our children well. All right, and then if this isn't enough, let's just back up two verses before 20 to verse 18. Jesus pretty much spells out what's going to happen. We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death. They will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life. This is literally the third time he spelled it out clearly. This is what's going to happen, guys. And then they're just not getting it even yet. And that's why, you know, she's asking, like, I want my sons to be great. And they had this whole dialogue about what it means to be great. He wants to be abundantly clear. In the kingdom of God, greatness is lowliness and serving, and sometimes even suffering unto death. It's crazy, but it's good. That's what's good in the God's kingdom. You know, I just love this revelation. This conversation probably changed Salome. We all know what happens to James and John. James is later beheaded, and John is exiled. These are her babies, you guys. I think he was just giving her a revelation of greatness. This is what greatness looks like. It's beautiful. And I love how later Salome is seen at the cross. She's with, in Mark, it tells us that she was there with the Marys. And a lot of the disciples split, but she was faithful. She was there until the end with the Marys. And she was able to witness firsthand from Jesus as he modeled what it meant to lay down his life for his friends. And then Salome goes also with the two Marys to the empty tomb to prepare his body for the burial. She was there. She knew Jesus in his suffering, in his death and resurrection. It's beautiful. She's just a mom. Just a mom doing ministry with her boys and with Jesus. Here's the truth for you today. Greatness in God's kingdom is to die to yourself. It's to die to yourself. It's not a popular thing to say. It's not an easy thing to say. But there's joy. When you die to yourself, Christ said, Paul said that we would know him in his death, but also in his resurrection. There's joy on the other side. I just want to share our story, a little testimony of a time where God called me to do the exact opposite what I thought was successful. He like challenged me in such a crazy way. Back in 2015, God had started speaking to my husband. He's like, oh, I think we're called to move back to the family farm. And I'm like, what are you talking about? We live in Huron. Huron's the best. We have a Christian school. We have James River Church. I have my friends. We have our MOPS group. It's the best. I was ready to be buried in the backyard of our house because I love Huron. I love it. It's so fun to visit. But he's like, no, I really think it's God. And I'm like, honey, I don't think God would tell us to do something if he didn't call us both, which is, you know, I could see that being true. But there's also this whole thing called like submission, biblical submission in the home. And I'm like all about that. But like, this is the first time I'm like, oh, is that really like, oh, this is hard. And like, it was like months of dialogue between the Lord and us. And I was like, God, I need confirmation. I can't just uproot our family. I don't want to die spiritually. And I don't want like our family to just not do what we're called to do. But again, my husband's like, no, I really feel it strongly. And then one day I was literally mopping the kitchen floor while my kids were napping. I was just having this conversation with Jesus. And I'm like, Lord, if you call us to Africa, we would say yes. We would do whatever you want. We will go wherever you want us to go. Just go with us. And then he said, no, I want you to move to Midland. Well, he actually said, I want you to submit to your husband. And I'm like, okay, God, I submit to my husband. And all of a sudden, I felt like the peace and the presence and everything, all the things that I've been longing for. But it didn't come until after I laid it all down and I submitted in my heart, which is crazy. But that's the way God chose to do it. And he confirmed it in such a way that I knew without a shadow of a doubt that that's what we were called to do. It was good. It was powerful. It was still hard, though. So in the months to come, we had our sweet friend Steve Wilson, who's like a board of directors of our churches, and he was just visiting, offering encouragement. And I would just found out I was pregnant with my little boy, my youngest, and we told him, yeah, I feel like we're called to move to the farm. And he could tell I still had some apprehension and some fears, but he could tell I was on board. And he just spoke this to me. He's like, I think this is going to be a holy thing. I think God is in this, but I just want to speak this over you. If you will love it, you will have authority over it. If you will love it, you will have authority over it. That word has given me life up until this day so many times. I will stand on that word. I declare that over myself often. You know, it was fast forward a year later, 2016, I had a four-month-old. My oldest was 9. We packed up the 4 kids. We moved to Midland, South Dakota. The first week we were there, you know, right away, the enemy always, like, questions what God said, always. And he tries to get us to question him as well. So we were in Midland, not even a week yet. And the tricky thing about Midland is there's no grocery store, there's no high school, there's a gas station. That's pretty much all there is. And God is there, and there's farms, you know. But it's just not a big, it's a town of 120-ish. Anyway, so it was, like, a Friday. I remember specifically it was Anna's birthday. And we needed to get groceries because when we moved, we should have picked up groceries on the way in Pierre, but because that's the closest Walmart or whatever. But we just didn't. We were just in a hurry to get there. It was late at night. I'm like, we got to get food. We got to eat. So we're like, okay, we'll go to Pierre. And I remember it so so clearly. My mother-in-law and father-in-law were actually visiting some family, and they asked us to watch their dog. And they said, if you go to town, please take our reliable van. I promise you, it'll be way better for you. And we have a 99 old clunker van at the time. So we're like, of course, we'll take their van. That's so kind of them to let us use it. So we load up in the car in this van, and we actually had their dog with us, and we go to Pierre, and I'm already realizing it's so far just to get groceries. And we get there. It was Anna's birthday, so we got a bag of donuts, and we're trying to make it special and fun. We go to Walmart. We come out of Walmart, and I'm like, that was so stressful. I never go grocery shopping with my whole family. I usually just go when my husband's at work and the kids are at school, and I have the youngest one. This is nuts. What am I doing? And it was just so hard. And I walk out to the car, and the bag of donuts is shredded. You don't leave a bag of donuts in the car with your dog. I just haven't had a dog in a while. So my birthday girl was in tears. I was just like, oh, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I could just feel it building under the surface. And then we get into the car, and I'm like, let's just go home. Let's just go home with our groceries. This was so hard just to get groceries. And we're driving down Main Street and Pier, and all of a sudden it popped. A tire popped in the reliable vehicle. And then we pull in, and Zach's like, I'll call my brother. It's no big deal. So I'm like trying to hold it together, but it's just like a volcano. It's building. And anyway, so all of a sudden, Zach's brother and Sarah pull in right next to us. And like a toddler that just fell down and scraped her knee, looks up at her mom. I saw Sarah, and I felt like I had permission. I burst into tears. And I just wept and wept and wept. And we went back to Sarah and Dallas's house, and Zach got the car fixed. And before you know it, we were back on the road. When I got home, I was like, Lord, this is so hard. How are we going to do this? I can't even get groceries. I can't. It's hard. And it was just warfare. It was just straight up warfare. It was the first week we were there. And I remembered that word that Steve Wilson said to me. If you love it, you will have authority over it. And I'm like, God, I'm standing, I'm clinging to that life first. And the Lord started speaking to me about Zephaniah and how not to despise the days of small beginnings. And those words just ministered to my soul, and I clung to them. And whenever it got hard, oftentimes the enemy would whisper, did God really say? And I'm like, yes, he did, devil, get out. You know, I remember the exact time, exact spot where he spoke to our hearts, and he confirmed it. So God is good. So I just share that to just reassure you. You know what? No matter what your situation is now, it's holy. Farming is holy. I love our community. I love where we live. God has given me a love and a passion for rural ministry. Whatever he calls you to do, it's going to be a good thing. You know, rocking babies is holy. It's a holy job. You are making a global impact just by loving your kids in your home. You are. The hand that rocks the cradle really does rule the world. That quote, it's so accurate. It's so true. We need to foster a lifestyle of serving and dying to ourselves. There's joy in this place. I reassure you, there's joy in laying down our lives. Sometimes this looks like just doing the next right thing. Maybe even in 15-minute increments. Some of you are going through a major crisis right now, and you're just like, I just can't do it. I need help. I need serious help. There's grace for you in the next 15 minutes is to say yes to God. He will give it to you. Maybe he's calling you to push through the mundane. Ask him the why. Why did God call me to this? Like, was it to be with my kids more? Or was it to be a light of Jesus in my workplace? Whatever it is, just ask him about the why again. You know, I'm all about jobs and careers. And I think Proverbs, like I said, Proverbs 31 is awesome. She had an actual career because with her earnings, she bought a vineyard. So she had like a side hustle vineyard. She was like super, super savvy at career stuff. So I think it's great. I mean, everybody should just, whatever you feel called to do. But no matter whether you're a working mom or you're a stay-at-home mom, whatever you are, there is this beauty that we have as women in the home. Like we legitimately set the rhythm of our house. You might not realize it, but we do. You know, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Have you ever heard that quote? That was on my wall as a kid growing up. My mama had it on the wall. But it's so true. Like, we have authority over our home and over our children. Serving in your home is not a weak role. It's not. It's powerful. Serving is greatness in the kingdom, y'all. It's great. Oh, man. With children, so many things are caught rather than taught. You know, if you're just burning for Jesus in front of your children, you are making an impact not only on them, but on the world. Our sweet friend Brittany Reyes, actually Monica's daughter. Am I pronouncing her name right? Is it Reyes?
Reyes.
Okay, Spanish name. Her and her husband Mauricio are in Turkey. And I heard her say this quote recently, and it just blew my mind. My husband and I just took a team down to Panama on a mission trip, and this was just like my mantra going in. So listen to what Brittany said. She said, "The kingdom of God does not come to conquer, but to serve. It comes to serve." Here are some reflection questions today as we wrap this up. Who are the people that the Lord has strategically placed in my life? How am I stewarding the ones that he has entrusted to me? And what was the last thing that God said? And just cling to that. Cling to that verse and let it give you life. Take time to get his perspective. I commend you for being here today. And it was a sacrifice. This is a worthy thing to do, taking time to get his perspective. Grandpa McKinley, my husband's grandfather, he was like our spiritual patriarch of our family. He was a minister for 40 years in the Open Bible Church in Midland, South Dakota, where our family farm is. And when he got discouraged, he would often go to the top of a hill in Midland, overlooking Midland, and he would look over the town. And God would give him fresh love for Midland. And again, he would tell the Lord, "Yes, I will give my life for Midland." And I just want to encourage you. Sometimes when you're discouraged, you just have to sign back up for what God told you to do. Because he's worth it all. And he's worthy. And you can trust him with your hopes or your dreams. You can trust him with your children. I have a daughter. She is just so drawn to Asian culture. She loves all the Asian foods. And I'm like, "Lord, if she's called to Asia, I just say whatever you want. I just want to see her. I just love her." But I can trust the Lord with her. I can. Whatever he has, I can trust him. Right. Let's just take a moment to pray before we pass on the baton. Lord, I just thank you so much for every woman here today. God, you see. You see every time these women have served behind the scenes in their homes or in their ministries or in their workplaces. God, thank you. Thank you for the role of a servant. God, I pray that you'd fill us with so much grace to serve. Lord, not just so we could be great, God, but so we could bring you glory and honor you. God, we want to give you our all because you are worthy of it all. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Wasn't that great? Terrific. Did you guys catch that? Building a legacy in the mundane. Like, there's actually no other way to do it. Like, we read about, you know, our favorite heroes of the faith. Guess what? They had boring days. It's just true. Our favorite ones that laid down their life for the Lord, our favorite heroes of the faith, they only got there because they were faithful in the everyday. Faithful in the everyday with their families, with their churches, with their jobs. I love that. Greatness in God's kingdom is dying to yourself. Oh, it's so true. Thank you, Jessica. That was great. And I am so personally glad there is such a bright and brilliant light in such a small town. Thank you. Isn't that a gift? All right, so our next mini session speaker is Shannon Gross. Shannon is a long-term friend of mine and of this church. She goes to James River. I've known Shannon for almost 17 years. I know. It's crazy. Shannon's a mom of nine. She put on the lunch today with a team. Hospitality is one of her gifts. And I would say preaching and communication, teaching also one of your gifts. She's just got a deep, deep well of loving God in every season. You've done it really well. Such sincerity. You're challenging, and I can't wait to hear what you got for us.
Thank you. I don't know if I've actually ever done this before, so I might fail at it. Well, this isn't the hard part, right? It's putting it up. Maybe. Not yet, but usually when I'm asked to speak, I know right away what it is I'm going to share, and I did not this time. And I was spending time with Jesus. I was in his word. I was having my quiet time, and still, it wasn't solid. I wasn't really sure until 4:30 this morning. And I was very asleep. And all of a sudden, my eyes just popped open, and the Lord was like, yeah, that's, you share that. Okay. Let's put up the family. You guys want to see my family, don't you? Yes. I want to see my family. I don't know what needs to happen. Do we need to push buttons? Can you see them? Right. Beautiful family. So I do have 9 children. My oldest is Spencer. He's 31. And then it goes to Charlie, 27. And Gracie is 24. And this is her husband, Keegan. And my Autumn Hope is a senior this year. She's 18. Moses is 15. Monty is 14. Olivia and Neve, this is a little older picture, are both 13. And they're here in the back. Olivia and Neve, stand up, girlies. Twins. I got twins. In fact, funny story. So Neve came to live with us when she was 3, and her biological brother Monty was 4. And this is my ex-husband, Tom. I just kind of last minute decided to put this picture up, and I wanted all my kids on there. I bless you, Tom. You gave me 9 amazing kids. I bless you. I'm sorry. Where's the Kleenex? Is that? Did not. He didn't tell me I was going to say that. Wow. Cute story about Olivia and Neve. Neve came with us when she was 3, Monty was 4. And I had a biological princess at that time that was the same age as our adopted daughter. And I had some concerns about that because, you know, she was the princess and the baby, and I was going to have to share all of her things, and how would she love a sister that was wearing her clothes and playing with her dolls and all of that. Oh, I'm so proud of you, Olivia. Goodness, I'm a mess.
Thanks for being here.
Oh, whew. And she actually doesn't remember what it was like before Neve came along. And she would introduce Neve as her twin sister. And she really believed it was true for many years. She did. They were the same age. They were in the same class. This is my twin sister. And I loved when we moved to North Dakota because they're whiter than you guys are here. And she would say, this is my twin sister. And we got a lot of that. Oh, my goodness. I'm a blessed mom. I'm so blessed. You can take that picture down. Maybe don't put the other one up quite yet. So I grew up in a really rural area in Montana, and like Little House on the Prairie, kind of. It was 50 miles of a dirt road to the closest gas station and grocery store. So it really was. It was a really, really great, simple life. My dad was a cattle rancher. I did go to a one-room country school, and I did ride my horse sometimes to school, for real. And I was so protected, and I was a good girl. And I didn't know it, but there was pride that was like growing in me because I was a good girl and made good choices. And I knew God, and I had talked to him. Actually, I don't remember a time I didn't talk to the Lord so early on. Thank you, God. I would sit on this hill by our house, by our ranch, and I would talk and talk and talk to him and write and write and write and sing him songs from as early as I can remember. I loved, loved, loved the Lord. And I believed that he loved me too, partly because I was good. And I went to high school, and I needed to board with a family in town, in our big town, because it was 50 miles away, and I did. And I was still a good girl in high school. And I think I was the only believer that I knew of. I think there were about 100 kids in my class. That was a big change from going from 3 kids in my class. I didn't drink, and I didn't smoke, and I didn't go out with, I didn't date, you know, or do things I wasn't supposed to. And I just thought, that's probably why God loves me so much. I'm a good girl. And what started happening was I began to start looking at other people in such a judgmental way. And I didn't even know that I was doing it. You know, I went to a Baptist church, and so once a week we would go to town, go to church, and get some groceries, whatever we didn't have from the garden or the cow or the what a pig, whatever, on the farm. And it was a sweet, still go on, sweet church, and we only did hymns and all 4 stanzas, of course, because you had to do that. And there was not a guitar, because that would be heathen. And there was no clapping or raising your hands. And so I began to form these opinions that were just that, opinions about how my church was better and more holy. And I was a little better and more holy because this is the way that we did things. And that just continued, you know, throughout my life. A judgment is different than, it's an opinion, right? It doesn't necessarily mean that somebody else is doing something wrong. But it's an opinion that you form based on what you see, or maybe based on what you hear. Could be hearsay. And I had so many judgments towards people. And I would say, it just honestly, in the last couple of years, God has been showing me my heart. Because I'll just give you an example. Not to make anybody feel uncomfortable. I'm just being raw with you. If you had tattoos, I had a hard time thinking believers had tattoos. If you smoked, if you drank, married somebody that did, if your kids made bad choices, I had a thing about colored hair, like the purple and pink colored hair. I mean, never mind that I cover my gray and I keep telling myself I'm blonde. Is there somebody here with pink hair? There you go. I love your pink hair. But really, I was thinking, well, they must be rebellious or something. For real. Oh, my goodness. And I remember a time where I really sinned, and I really failed God and myself. And I remember talking to a girlfriend, and she had this huge smile on her face. And she said, "This is awesome." And I'm like, "Why?" I was weeping and weeping. And she said, "You are going to know
the mercy of God. Because I considered myself to be a good person and a good girl. And in my head, I had thought, if you just do the right thing, then this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. And then when it doesn't, what happens? I think I did all that. I never got drunk once. I never had sex outside of my marriage. So I'm going to have a long and happy marriage. So I had these beliefs, and when things didn't happen like I thought they were going to happen, there was this offense that started towards God, and I didn't even know it was there. But it was like, can't you see how good I am? Really? I remember a time I was so broken and crying out to God. And I was, you know, a lot of people can relate to the prodigal son, right? Well, I could relate to the prodigal son, big brother. Mm-hmm. Really. He got a party. I love parties. Where's my party? He got a ring. He got a robe. Like, I have been here the whole time being faithful. And I heard the Lord say, but you have my inheritance. Everything I have is yours. So at the same time I'm thinking I'm this good and righteous person, I was making all these judgments. It's going on in my head, really. Just all going on in my mind. I'm thinking it, you know, about people who are too fat, people who are too skinny. Oh, my goodness. People who wear too much makeup. People I think need to, should wear makeup. Oh, my goodness. All the conversations I had in my head. Woo. And I have been, I'm walking with the Lord with this heart attitude. I'm in the Word. I'm praying. And I'm reading His Word. But somehow, what the reverse is that we're not getting in. One of them is James 2:10. Whoever keeps the whole law but stumbles at one point is guilty of them all. What? Yikes. You know, when I would read about the thief on the cross, and Jesus said, you're going to be with me today, I would be like, are you kidding me? Really? He did nothing. Like, his whole life, he was a thief, and then what? That was my... I'm so embarrassed. That was my heart. Really? Oh, my goodness. And I started asking God to show me what He was seeing in my heart. And He did. It was not pretty. And I had to come face to face with this reality that I had stumbled at one point, so I was guilty of them all. And I also had to face the reality that all the good things that I have done, right? It's not by the righteous things that we have done, but according to His mercy that He saved us. I certainly would never tell anybody that I thought that I was saved because I was a good person and made good choices, but I believed it. I really did. I mean, I knew about the cross. I did. I knew Jesus died for me. But it was kind of, I'm going to add to that. I'm going to add my goodness to it. You can't add anything because the cross is enough. Right? God's holy. He cannot look at sin. He can't look at it. So he sent his son, Jesus. Jesus was perfect. Perfect. Not one sin. Not one bad thought. Not one judgment. And it was his blood that atoned for me. And for all those people wearing too tight leggings. And those people that had tattoos and the pink hair and all of that. And those people at different churches that just acted crazy. Because we can form judgments, right? We're doing it right, but they need to loosen up. I've been at different churches, different denominations. Pretty much everybody thinks they're doing it right. The people that don't get radical and jump around and yell hallelujah think that they are the holiest. And those that do jump around and shout hallelujah, praise God, think that they're more spiritual. Not everybody. I'm just saying. So God was showing me my heart. And he was reminding me that I couldn't save myself. There was nothing that I could do. When you remove that idea and that lie, your life changes. It changes. You have more compassion for people. You don't have offense towards God because he died and he paid and it was enough. It says that our goodness is like filthy rags. You know what he's talking about there? I got 5 teenage girls. I know exactly what we are talking about. And when we're all together, everybody starts cycling. Jesus! So filthy rags in the Bible is rags that they women use when they are having their period. Right? That's what our good works are like. It can't save you. It can't. Just like your sin, just like the choices that you made and the choices that you still make when we gossip and when we judge that boy in skinny jeans with earrings, right? His blood is enough. And when I was coming face to face with my own depravity, everything changed. Because I knew, for one thing, I cannot be good enough to live with Jesus forever. I can't. That's why he died. Without the shedding of blood, yeah. There's no forgiveness. I want to read Hebrews because somebody famous wrote it. We like famous people. Hebrews 10:10. Well, I'm going to start actually in 9. Behold, I have come to do your will. He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. Because I think, I'm going to stop there a minute. Without really saying it, I think I was doing good things in a way, like, to pay for my sin. Like, I was, does that make sense? Like, if I gossiped about my boss, bless him, if I gossiped about my boss and I felt really bad about it, and then somebody wanted to stop over and pray, I would make more time for that because I felt really bad because I knew that that was wrong. Do you understand the trade-off that was happening there? And I was really saying, Jesus, your blood is not enough. I got to add to it. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, a single sacrifice for all time, he sat down. Thank you, Jesus, at the right hand of God. And waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. His blood is enough, and he wants you to be reminded of that. Like, repent. He wants you to repent. He does. When the Holy Spirit highlights something, just repent. But he's enough. And he's enough for your wayward children. And enough for unsaved family members and neighbors that party too loud and the bully in your kids' class. He's enough for them too. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I'm so thankful. Okay, I'm hopping gears here a little bit because we need to laugh. This was a crazy week. Whew. My senior daughter had her prom last night, and my oldest son Spencer, he was way to the right. He's a dentist in Sioux Falls, so if you need a good dentist, he's awesome. There you go. He was at a dental convention, and he's a daddy. And that was another judgment I had. Anyone who had a baby at a wedlock, like, they better be real good for the rest of their life. And then my 30-year-old son became a daddy, my unmarried 30-year-old son. Had one other girlfriend his whole life. Made really good choices. That was a tough one for this grandma. For a little bit. And then I went, thank God she chose life. Amen. Thank God. Yes. Let's put him on here. You all are going to ooh and ah. He is the chubbiest, sweetest. Oh, my goodness. Can you look at the rolls? What the world?
are going to be an amazing man of God, Beckham. You are going to be a world changer. Your life matters, and you're supposed to be born. And you're going to praise the name of Jesus. Don't you want to squeeze him? Yes. I know, my goodness. He is such a happy, happy little guy, too. And so I had him 4 days this week, and I'm exhausted. What the world? And it's so fun when you become grandma. I mean, I had 9 kids, and I'm not an expert, but I've had some experience. And my son, first one, and he's telling me how to do it. When he leaves him, are you kidding? It was so precious. And he said, oh, Mom, I make a nest for him. He used that those words. I make a nest for him at night, right by my bed. Spencer has him, I would say, about 70% of the time. And he's an amazing dad. Oh, my goodness. He's an amazing dad. Anyway, he said, I make this nest. And I'm like, okay, I guess that's new. You're going to have to show me the nest. And he had, for real, he has these hard pillows. That. So this is where I sleep, and this is the nest. And hard pillows all the way around, and then it's got a little dip. You know, you got to make it perfect. And then there's a blanket over the top, and then you just cuddle really close to the nest. I know. I did that for 4 nights. He does not sleep through the night. He was pretty good, but, you know, he woke up at 2:30 every morning, and then he'd have a bottle, and he'd be out, and I'd be up. And my arms are sore, and my back is sore, like he's a big boy. Oh, my goodness, bless you, young mamas. Bless you. So I really went 3 days without a shower. I did. And I mean, I have 5 teenagers at home, and they had a busy week, so it wasn't like I was just being grandma all by myself. And so I came here, like, my brain has not been functioning well, I don't think all week, because you're just tired. And I was downstairs decorating for this event, and I had on this sweatshirt I'd wore for a couple days, and my hair was in a messy bun, and I didn't have a bra on because it was just too much work, like, to put it on and hook those little things. So I thought, who's going to see me? I'm just going to go to the church, and I'm going to decorate. And Autumn came. And I thought, well, she is my sister, and it's fine. You know, I look, it's okay if I look like this. And then she said, let's do a Facebook Live. For real. And I'm like, God, when is this lesson in humility going to end? Like, I. And so if you're over 50, and you're not wearing a bra, gravity, people. And I was like, this is not going to be good. So I literally held flowers. You guys are going to have to go back and watch it now, aren't you? I'm holding flowers because my boobs were, like, down here. And then there's, like, my tummy. This was, like, too hot. And I'm trying to get in the screen so that it ends about right here so you can't see any farther. It's true. Oh, my. Look at his arms. I know. He's. Yep, he's so squishy. So beautiful. Okay, my time is up. I love you, ladies. What's your takeaway? I have no idea. Wear a bra.
That was a story only I would have never told it, Shannon. I knew it, but I would have never told it. But I rewatched that video. I don't usually rewatch my Facebook Lives, but I rewatched that one 3 or 4 times and laughed because I knew why you were holding the flowers. It looked like she was getting married. Oh, well, we're actually live streaming the whole thing. I don't know if I told you that. We could take. I'm just glad that you joined the club of saying embarrassing things on the internet, because I preach every other week at church, and half the time I go home and go, oh my goodness, it's on there forever now. Why did I say that? Oh, thank you, Shannon. You can't add anything to what he's done, right? Did you hear her? You can't add anything to what Jesus did for you. It doesn't matter what you've done or you feel like you haven't done in life. He loves you because of who he is and what he's done for you, not because really of what you've done for him. We just say yes and go for the ride. Oh, I love it. You guys, we need to stretch, right? We need to take coffee break. We need to use the little ladies' room. All of them are ladies' rooms. Remember that, guys? Every bathroom in the church belongs to the women. Woo! It's a dream come true. And there's more bathrooms downstairs. We're going to take just a 15-minute break. Grab a little snack if you need to. We're going to come back. I'm doing a session as well as Kennedy, we're excited. We're excited about what we have, and then we'll have a dinner break. A nice, chunky dinner break where you all actually have time to go eat and come back for Sally Good. No, I said it wrong. Good day. Say it. Sal. Yes, I know. Sal. Good day, folks. That's it. Good day. All right. God bless you. See you in 15 minutes.